The world forms a mold and pours you like molten wax into it. And then, they have a shape. For that reason, men fight for titles. I told you that one of my friends, he's linked to one of the biggest government houses, state government houses in Nigeria. All right? He told me, when they invite pastors to this particular government house, when you are leaving, they hand you envelopes. That's one of the ways they maintain peace and, order in the society. That's how the government people do. You have to be disciplined as a preacher not to go to such places. And if you do, refuse to take their money. If you take the money, you are wearing down your influence. You are wearing down your respect. Don't take the money from them. If you're a pastor, you go there. Once you are invited as a minister. Now, it's a different matter when you are invited to come and minister. You came to preach. And somebody gives you honorarium, which is what the Bible calls the laborer is worthy of his wages. Okay? That's a point. But in Nigeria of today, if I am the one, I won't take that one too. I would rather come and preach in government house for free and go away. All right? But this one is different, that people just sit down, they come, they give you food to eat, tell you it's Christmas party. Then when you are going, they give you money. You ask yourself, why? Why are they giving me money when they give me free food? But what do some of our people do? It's very shameful. Because those men, not knowing what is going on, if you are a bishop, they can say bishops is 100,000. But if you are a pastor, it's 25,000, or something like that in the envelope. So some men go back and go and take title. What I'm telling you is not a joke. Some young boys became archbishop for reasons like that. I'm telling you the truth. That is what is called the world molding. Do you get my point? The world is molding people. And that's one thing you must fight. The world must not mold you. The world must not mold you. Why? Okay, you want to get another degree. Why? Because the title PhD gives you influence in life. The world is molding you. The world is molding you. You feel you can't talk unless you have that PhD. The world is molding you. I was listening to Andrew Womack. He was saying something which is very interesting. Andrew Womack said that he did not finish school. That's what they call college. We call university here. He was in university when he felt that the Lord wanted him to drop out. So he left. But now he's not the Andrew Womack that you know today. He said he went somewhere to go and preach, and the man there, his church had like a school, higher institution attached, a theology college. And they now said, I like Americans or something. Americans, there's a way they do their things, which is very beautiful. They don't just look at your certificates, they look at life, you understand? So he said that they looked at him and told him that particular school is attached or is affiliated to a big university. So they award degrees from that school. So they said they assessed Andrew Womack's experience in life. So for that reason, they said if he takes a one-year course, he will get a PhD. Doesn't have a BSc or BA. But this is ministry matter, it's theology. So they said, okay, for all the books he had written, the sermons he had preached, his experience as a preacher, what they need to do, just give him a one-year course. He will take some courses for a year. At the end of the day, he gets a PhD. He now becomes Dr. Womack. Are you getting that point? So he said, I was there for about a week. That man kept on pressuring him, another week or two, that take this course, take this course, take this course. So Andrew Womack just kept on pushing it off. It's just 1 year. Take this course, you can do it. We'll make it flexible for you. He kept on pushing it off. So finally, the man harassed him so much and then cornered him and said, why won't you just do this? He told the man simply, because if I do it, I will become like you. That apparently your whole world revolves around I have a PhD. He told the man straight. That you see, your whole world, since I came here, you have not allowed me rest. You feel superior because you have a PhD. Sir, I don't want to be like you. I don't want to be that lost. Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't want that degree of confusion in my life. What am I doing with a PhD? How is it going to enhance my ministry? And I'm adding words now. I didn't say these other ones I'm saying now. He said the other ones to the man. But what am I doing with a PhD? How will it enhance my ministry? You know about me because I have done the work. You now want to use the PhD to validate it for me? If you need the PhD, then take it on my behalf. I don't need it. I am the Womack you know today. What would the title Dr. Womack now do for me? I'm talking about the high calling of Christian. Listen, don't take degrees that you don't need for anything. You must understand purpose. I was reading the book by, I think, is it Jack Welch now or Lee Iacocca, one of the two of them. He got a PhD just because he was on a plane one day. Yes, it's Welch. It's Welch. Why say he was on a plane? And they came to him and said, okay, so Mr. Welch, what will you need? Then we went to the next person, Mr. Banky, what will you need? Then they got to one man and said, Dr. Smith, what will you need? He said that title doctor just hit him, bam, that this is not a bad idea. This man went back to school immediately. He had a master's in chemical engineering. He pursued a PhD in chemical engineering just to get a title, Dr. Welch. Then when he got it, he realized it was a waste of time. And he stopped using the title. He got it, then stopped using the title. By himself, he stopped people from calling him Dr. Welch. That look, this is an encumbrance. Look, call me Jack. So now get to the office, everybody calls him Jack. His PhD, nothing. A waste of time. Paul said, the word has been crucified to me, and I to the world. I don't do anything to impress anybody in the world. I was reading one story the other day. I stumbled on it on the internet. A particular guy, I think in Ukraine, or one of these, or in Russia, somewhere around there, he customizes cars. He can customize a car to be as expensive as $10 million a car. Now, this is the point. She said there was one Arab guy who bought one of the most expensive, if not the most expensive sports car in the world. That's a Bugatti. A Bugatti. You know what they call Bugatti? A Bugatti Veyron is almost $2 million. Why people buy it, I don't know. Because a Lamborghini, which is one of the most popular sports cars, just about $500,000. But a Bugatti is about between 1.6 and 2 million, depending on how the one you pick. All right? So this man said that there was one Arab man who bought a Bugatti. And then, of course, feeling very cool with his Bugatti, then two of his neighbors bought Bugattis and he got angry. That's the point I'm making. Two of his neighbors bought Bugattis and he got very angry. Now, the point I'm making is that this man bought a Bugatti. And two of his neighbors bought Bugattis, and they got angry. That's how he became this man's customer. Okay, make me a car that they will never have. You know, interesting. Do you know we still do it here today? And then it's so that let us know, because these are the things that make Christians lose control in life. When they are supposed to do assignment for God in life, they don't have control. They can't speak to the weather when they are supposed to be able to talk to the weather. They cannot speak to the economy when the economy is supposed to respond to their words. Why? They've lost their authority in being attached to foolish things like, I was the first to do this. I'm the first to do this. I am this. Anything that you are that is not a reflection of what Christ has made you is a waste of your time. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I keep on saying, you don't buy a car to impress your neighbors. You know, these are things I didn't know you had to tell Christians. You're buying a wedding gown for one simple reason. It has to be better than a former's wedding gown. That is... Do you know people do things like this?
Yeah.
Listen. If you see me drive a car, it's because I like it. I don't care what you think about it. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it must be serving a purpose for me. Personal purpose. Which does not include impressing you. What I'm saying is a matter of fact. It does not include impressing you. One day I went to preach somewhere. One of my friends said, Banky, I'm sure this is your car will increase your honorarium. He was joking, actually. He was joking. He said, look at the big car you brought. He said, this will affect the size of the honorarium. I am not joking about that. Do you know preachers actually do it? Why is he going with a big car? Because if I go with a small car, they think I'm poor. So they will not give me small money. But when I go with a Lincoln Navigator, they know I'm an expensive man of God. I was talking to my wife the other day. You know my own prayer? Please, let nobody ever refuse to invite me to a place because they think to be expensive to bring me. Yeah, because I've been where people are discussing before. Man, that man, man, can we afford to bring him? And what did they mean? The entourage is like five people. All of them will have to stay in the most expensive hotel in town. You now need like the amount of money on accommodation for him and his entourage alone, 2 million naira. Now, is it bad? I don't know. Is it bad? I really don't know. The prayer I just pray is that God, any place where I will be effective in ministry, please do not let it be that because I will be expensive to bring, I will not be invited. If I have to pay with my own money, as God is my witness, I do not mind. The other day I was going to preach in Benin for that one. There's a special relationship anyway. Where are you going to stay, sir? None of your business. I just called my guy there. Please, book this particular place for Yinka and I. All right? We will stay there. We'll be there for us. When I come, I will give you the money. They are students. They are my brethren. You understand? So I just felt that, no, no, no. If I'm showing up, I don't want it to be a problem for them. So that anytime they want me to come, they will say, oh, God, please, when else are you coming? Because if every time you are coming, they have to... Look, for me, it becomes a hindrance to ministry. That's what I'm going to explain. Please, you know something? I'm not going to say all of these things, all right? I want to focus our minds for us to understand what our lives are about. This life is about a mission for Christ. It is about how you can serve the purpose of Christ in life. So I prayed that prayer. I was telling my wife about it about 2 days ago, or 2 or 3 days ago. I said, no, my own prayer is that God, let it not be that because somebody will say, we will not be able to afford to bring this man, so let us not bring him. Ah, please, oh. I went to preach somewhere the other day. The man of God, the host said that, where would you like to stay? We can get you a hotel, or will you stay with us where we are camping? So I said, is that where you are staying, sir? He said, yes. I said, don't worry, I will stay there. You big man, his children are bigger than mine. Are you getting my point? This is where you are staying. I said, the only thing I want is that, sir, I hope there's power 24 hours so I can sleep in peace so that at least fan will blow. He said, yes. I said, no problem, we'll go there. Is that the best place I would like to stay? No, 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 not necessarily. Not necessarily. But for goodness sake, it's just 2 nights. Sometimes it has happened in my house that fuel will finish at 12 midnight. NEPA will not come back till morning. What will you do? What are you going to do? Nothing. So why can't I just accommodate, you know? I said, you are going to stay there. Fine. For me, my own is that, listen, I am a preacher. Nothing should stand between me and that opportunity to minister to people. That's what I'm talking about. It's not a sign that I'm a big man that you put in an expensive hotel. However, if I go to a place where you guys are very well to do, you can afford it, and you say, sir, where you stay is, what's the name of that place in Dubai that's going to go under the water if they don't believe in Christ? What's the name of that place? Oh, Burj Arab. Yeah, thank you. He says, Burj Arab, you know, one night there, $25,000. Yes, a night. The world's only 7-star hotel. At least then it was. I don't know about now. It's $25,000 a night. Just by the way, that kind of thing. When they say that, are you going to stay there? They say, no problem. We'll pay ourselves. Let's have the money. We'll go and pay by ourselves. Oh, Richard said, like, which kind of budget? Come on, Tom, then let us go. Don't. Let's go. I mean, when the Meridian is there, that's going to collect maybe $300 a night. I'll now go 25 for what? Come on, let's go. All right, the Lord is good. You know, like we were talking, that it was my wife and I, so everybody say, they put for that kind of place for night, I don't go sleep. Because, you see, if you sleep, you will wake up in the morning, $25,000 has finished. You sleep at this corner of the bed, then turn small, use every inch. Every gadget they have, you must operate it. I will begin swimming that day. That is just to say, wait, $25,000. I am swimming. I'm swimming. What do you mean? Oh, the Lord is good. Now, the point I'm just making is that if you are that wealthy, you understand? And they say that's where they have provided for you to sleep. What are you going to do? You go there and go and sleep. You just simply go there and go and sleep. Just take it like, well, it's an alabaster box. It's been broken. What are we going to do? Are we going to become like Judas and be packing it? No. It's been broken. Let the aroma fill the atmosphere. Yes, let's go and see what heaven will be like if earth can be like this. Are you getting my point? Like one of my brothers said, he said, listen, when I experience this, I must go to heaven. Because heaven must be better than this if human beings can do this one. Yes, you know, you just use it. Everything is for the using. That's why Paul said, I have learned how to abound, I have learned how to abase. And I said, I was going to talk about counting your possessions. All right? Let me really say this. Christian possessions, we are not judged by whether we have plenty naira, plenty dollars. It is not a sign of prosperity that you have big houses as a Christian. It can be a sign of poverty. I've heard people say that the reason why maybe my father is not rich is because he helped a lot of people. The truth is that your father is actually rich. If indeed, I don't know whether I get my point. If indeed he did that, then he's truly a rich person. I've heard people say it before. I remember once one friend of mine was talking to me. He said that, look, I should try and buy a car. This was years ago, not now. Years ago. So I sat down and I said, my brother, you're my friend. We work in the same office. You know how much I earn. Let us sit down and discuss how I will buy a car from this salary. Because when you say I should try and buy a car, you didn't say I should try and steal. You didn't say I should go and collect on credit and not pay the owner. You said I should try and do what? Mm. Buy. All right. So it will come from money that I have. Let's sit down. I put my, you know, he knows how much we earn. We're working the same place, earning the same amount of money. I said, how do I go about getting money out of this to buy this car? I was a resident that time. And he made a statement, without going into detail of the thing we discussed, let's not go into details about everything. He said, you will reduce the amount of money that you give out. And I said, so that I can die in poverty. That was my response in my heart. I didn't say it to his face. So I just hissed. Why? I will stop being generous because I want to acquire a material thing that, you know, I keep on saying it, that you and I have seen many times catching fire. I mean, these things happen all the time. The joke I tell was in a while I was going to Lagos Benin Express. I told my wife, look at 14 million, 14 million. She said, what? I said, look at 14 million burning. A brand new Land Cruiser was on fire. Not the kind of fire that they quench. The kind of fire that when fire service comes, they will move back and say, why waste the water? Let it finish burning. We will carry the wreck. It was that much. It was as if the metal was burning. Beside the road, it was engulfed totally in flames. I told my wife, look at 14 million. That time, the car was going for 14 million naira. A Bugatti can burn. I hope you know. Bugatti can burn. And when it burns, it burns. You know, it will burn, it will finish burning, they will throw it away. But do you know, this is a spiritual thing. If my being generous was a sign of faith, my faith does not perish. It's like gold. That's what the Bible says. I will not use gold and exchange it for straw. I won't take my gold and exchange it for straw just because in the eyes of human beings, straw is valuable. No, I'll just look at it that you are confused. That's why you think straw is valuable. Sometimes you see Christians, because of money, they sell a good name. There are things that you can't compare the value. A good name, in literal terms, is worth more than 10 billion naira. I hope you know that. In literal terms, this is not figurative. In literal terms, to have a good name is worth more than 10 billion naira. I won't sell my good name for money, ever. Listen, I'm talking about counting your possessions. One day a man was speaking, said, you want to know what we are worth in this life? The total asset, your liabilities, in my mind, I say is a lie. What did I call it?
A lie.
A lie. Your total worth in life cannot be calculated in naira and kobo. It can't be. Your worth in life, you can't calculate it in material things. cannot. You cannot at all. The fact that you have stock worth, you know, they said the value of the stock market is falling, Naira is going up, this one is going down. I have just become like Paul. I am totally impervious to those things now. Really. I want Chris, listen, because you see, without, I told you something earlier. I'm going to a point in this series of things, not me, the Lord is going to a point, the Holy Spirit is going to a point, that when he has finished building people listening to what I'm saying up, it will get to a point, he will make you handle billions of dollars. And it's nothing. What did I say? It will be nothing. You will not even be able to, you know, when you see some of those people say, amen, you won't even be able to say the amen like that. You just say the amen as a matter of fact, like that's true. Yes, it's true. We will handle billions of dollars. We won't be happier than we are right now. What is troubling us will still trouble us. What can trouble us will not trouble us. Are you getting what I'm saying? If it can't trouble us now, it won't trouble us then. That is, we are just that neutral to it. It's like saying, I'm changing your hammer from being a sledgehammer to a bigger hammer. Or this one now will have machine inside that, and okay, now become a jackhammer. You will say, hey, praise God, have you heard? I am going to get a jackhammer, I'm going to get a jackhammer. Do you understand my point? When they change your sledgehammer to a jackhammer, you know there's something different to do. That's all. That is, these are not the days of sledgehammers. These are not the days of what? Jackhammers. It's simple. You don't get home and say, sweetheart, have you heard? I'm about to show you my new jackhammer. No. It's more of, oh, our company is leaving where we are working now. We are leaving this area. We are going to another place. Instead of using sledgehammers, we are going to be using jackhammers. Okay, that's nice. I'm sure you'll enjoy the work. Yes, I like the feel of a jackhammer. You know, that's all. Not a big deal. It's not a big deal. Why? Every single thing is simply what? A tool. Every single thing in life is for us what? A tool. Every single thing is for us a tool. Paul said, the fact is that, you know, I said last time, that's why we can pass through death. Remember, we talk about death and resurrection. What do you mean by death? You have a big company. They say bribe, inflate contracts. You say I am not doing. You say if you don't, you will not survive. You say what's the big deal? Let the company die. It's like the ark of the covenant that was being carried wrongly. If Uzzah touches it, Uzzah dies. Listen, why is it that I can watch it while my company, whatever I'm doing in life, pass through death and resurrection? I'll give you the answer. It is simply because I have already passed through the death on the cross. Are you getting my point? That is the reason why I can watch and allow those things happen. Because as a matter of fact, I have already passed through the death on the cross as a Christian. That is why a believer can watch. That's why it should not be a difficult thing for you to lay things down. Because by the virtue of your relationship with the cross of Christ, you realize that the world has been crucified to you. And you have been crucified to the world. What does that mean in practical terms? Listen to me. What people think of you don't matter. Are you getting my point? What people think of you, it doesn't matter at all. A friend of mine told me those days when I first started Kingdom World Ministries. He heard me that, okay, ah, so what's happening? I told him, he said, I don't just start a church. I said, no, it doesn't fit exactly what I want to do. He said, listen, my friend, people will not respect you unless you're a pastor of a church. I said to him, I am not doing this thing for respect. I'm doing it to teach the word of God. What we're creating that time, we just need a platform to export, you know what I mean, to produce, like I was saying at the beginning, our materials. That's why we take recording very seriously. I said, I'm not doing it for respect. What was he trying to say? And it's a matter of fact. There's one man, I don't know if I told you the story here some time ago. He's a pastor of a church somewhere, not too far from where we are. When I was talking with one of our friends, he said, the man said, listen, that he started the church only because, if I let me use the words we're using now, only for respect. He is a music minister. Music minister. In fact, somebody told him that, can you remember this particular album? I said, yes. When we were in school, we used to play it. I said, I remember. He said, that's him now. I said, what? I said, what are you talking about? He said that those days they will go for meetings. They'll tell the pastors to sit over here. You know the way we treat pastors sometimes? Sometimes bordering on that idolatry, but, you know, will they try? You know, life, you have to try and balance things. Are you getting what I'm saying? The man, you know, pastor is coming, you collect his briefcase, everything, he sits down here. They will come, give you water,
bow as they are giving you the water, and go away, come back, give you drink, bow as they are giving you the drink, then go away, come back, give you handkerchief, bow as they are giving you handkerchief. You know, if you are not developed in yourself, you suddenly start feeling stupidly important. Emphasis on stupidly. Let me just tell you, if they do those things for you too early in life, they want to destroy you. I'm telling you, I tell campus students, you know, there's one problem we have on campus these days. The title pastor has crept into campuses and is ruining the lives of young people. What I'm saying is, the matter, when we were in school, we used to use the title pastor like a joke. You know, like, oh boy, you are now a preacher. So, pastor man, you know, it was like fun. It didn't, there was no gain attached to it. It just meant you labored more than them all. And not only you, the grace of Christ working with you. That's all it meant. You now find students on campus and other students carrying their briefcase. Yes. Students having PAs. Listen, I was a campus fellowship president. And I think it's totally unnecessary. I think we are spoiling these young people. Left to me now, I will ban the title pastor, mommy, all those on campus. I will ban it. Henceforth, you are brother and sister. Because it's making young people. One day, one young woman called me. I was supposed to help the fellow. Let's assume the name is, let's use the name, Angelina. You know that my Angelina. I hope there's no Angelina in this house. I chose Angelina because I know Angelinas are not coming. Hello, good afternoon, sir. I'm Pastor Angelina. I went to hang up the phone. In my mind, Pastor Angelina, you are very stupid. You don't have home training. You are calling somebody twice your age. By the time I left university, you probably were not born. If it's in this ministry work, I've been preaching before your father married your mother. When you call people like me, you don't talk like that. Good afternoon, sir. I am the young woman, the small girl that they say should call you, whether you'll be able to help. I'm honestly, you don't toss a title in my face. I won't do it to my seniors. Do you know the funny thing? Instantly, I wrote her off. Instantly. My wife said, I won't even tell her to come to the house. I said, whose house? I called Yinka. I said, Yinka, I have a problem for you to solve. This is fellow's number. Call her, tell her. I said, you should help her out. Don't come near my house. For me, it's just a sign of poor training. Now, you know, say, what's wrong with the title? I'll tell you what was wrong. What was wrong was that she was throwing the title in my face. You just leave university. This is a final year student. You're going around title. Young single girl. Good afternoon. I am Pastor Angelina. I just say, oh. This fleshly pride will not get us anywhere. It's unnecessary. Back to the story I was telling you. So this man said, those days, because they used to teach pastors like that, I heard him sing. He was an anointed minister of songs. Yet, they will leave him with the choir. Are you getting my point? Okay, brother, assume his name is Michael. So brother Michael is coming to sing for us right now. He grabbed the microphone, he'll sing, sing, sing. They won't even remember to serve him drink the way they serve to the pastors. The man decided that this insult is enough. Listen to me. He confessed it himself. He confessed it that was when he went and started the church, just to acquire the title pastor. So that when next he goes to a place, he will say, Pastor Susan, so that's where I am. Then they will line him up with the people, and then all the Japanese greeting will also start for him also. Listen, that is that your the word has not yet been crucified to you. That's what I'm trying to explain. Listen, in life, even these titles we use, make sure your title is simply a reflection of what you actually do. Not a way by which you gain entrance to places. It is not something that you use as an influence over people. That's what I'm trying to explain. Paul said, listen, by the cross of Christ, the world has been crucified to me, and I have been crucified to the world. And I'm saying to us again, and I'm talking about counting your possessions. I've not been able to settle on it. But this is the point I'm making. Listen, Listen to this. What you have, the titles you carry, they do not in any way. Listen to me. They don't in any way show whether you have made progress or you have not made progress. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. If I say, look, the title bishop, you know, for those of us in ministry, many of the famous bishops I knew those days, they are far younger than I am right now. And I've preached for far less, had preached for far less than I've preached as of today when they took up the title bishop. It's not a big deal. Are you getting my point? But I just realized something, that sometimes we take the title as a sign of influence, you know, in the society. I'm saying to you again today, as a Christian, that is around what? Nonsense. It's not a sign of progress. That title can be the proof that you have missed the calling of God for your life. I have nothing against the title bishop. Some of the men I love most on this and I respect most, their title is bishop something. I have nothing against the title. I am just telling you, listening to me, that it is not a sign that you have made progress. A friend of mine, he said once, he used to go to a particular church. He was no longer in that church. So there was one young man those days, he said, in the church. That, you know, they knew each other. The guy was in his unit. He was like the head of the unit. All right? So this young man, now, because one of us here, that's your name. I will not tell you the real name of the fellow. All right? So let me use another name. What's your English name? Henry. Okay, let's assume the name is Henry. So this guy had not seen the guy in a long time. So he said he got to that ATM one day, wanted to take some cash from the ATM. He just turned to his right. Who did he see? Henry. So he just said, oh, Henry, how now? The guy said, Pastor Henry. That he stopped him, corrected him. They were in the same unit. He was the head of the unit. This is my friend, my classmate. He's my very good friend, you know. He told me that, of course, the guy was wearing a suit that was a bit shiny. He had gelled his hair a bit, you know, sloped the thing slightly, you know, had, you know, niced up a bit. And according to him, he had bleached his skin a bit. So he just said, oh, Henry, how now? The guy said, Pastor Henry. Oh, sorry, Pastor Henry. He called me and said, what nonsense is this? I just laughed. To him, it's a sign of spiritual progress. And I have a title, pastor. Sometimes they make people deacon in the church. They go and do family Thanksgiving. Well, I have not been promoted deacon. Are you all right? Please, I'm sorry. I have to explain these things to Christians. It is not a sign of spiritual progress. Some of these titles are the proof in heaven that you are going to die early. God said, how do we kill this young man? How do we kill this young woman? The angels will say, give him a title. I'm telling you, these are some demons will go to the courts of God with Satan. Say, Lord, kill him. Say, why? He now has that title which he mustn't have. Listen, the best title to use in your life is brother. That one, you can't miss it. If you are not sure, just brother and sister. They call you pastor, doesn't mean, oh God, how do I say it? It doesn't mean anything. You can get the title pastor today, die tomorrow and go to hellfire the third day. Yeah, let's get this thing clear. In today's Christianity, there's churches I know in which, at a time, I don't know about now, let me revise it. I was sure that if Jesus came today, that day, half of the pastors he will send to hellfire. That's not a joke. They are not believers. They got deceived and they got promoted. The base of promotion, you come to church early, you give a fat offering. And Bishop Oyedepo said something once. Bishop Oyedepo said that if you wear oversized shoes, it's very bad. That you won't be able to walk properly. But at least you can walk. He said, but a title is an oversized cap that it drops over your head. You can't see anything again. That's what Bishop Oyedepo said. We went for school of ministry. He said, when they put you in a place that's bigger than you, maybe you start doing things bigger than you, it's oversized shoes. He said, but when they give you a title bigger than you, it's an oversized cap. He said, it's so big, you know, it drops over your head, over your eyes, and now you can't see anymore. He said, for example, this example he gave that day. He said, there are many young men called bishops today. They should be in a meeting like this. He said, but they can't come. They are bishops. He said, they can't come because they are bishops. And really, those meetings blessed me tremendously. We heard things. I mean, I told the story. We'll go early in the morning. I'll leave my house by 6. I'm out. So as to get there on time, register. We start the morning session by 9 o'clock. We hear the word of God until 11. Two sessions, two different ministers. Then 11 to... No, okay, we hear the word of God till 1. Then 1, we take a break till 4 o'clock. And then start again till 9 at night. Then we'll start going home. I'll do this like for like 2 or 3 days. Different people, they will preach to you. You will buy books. You will make books compulsory. Look, listen, just filling your head with knowledge and with understanding on how to serve God. He said, but some people that have titles, they can't come. And that knowledge they don't have is what is going to ruin their lives and ruin their ministries. Listen, they gave you a title doesn't mean you have made spiritual progress. It can mean that now you are thoroughly confused and your confusion continues. It might mean that. Just like the fact that you have cash doesn't mean you are rich. It can mean you are very poor. That every time God sees that money in your account, it's a sign of your poverty. That my friend told me. He said, yeah, to buy this car, you stop giving out the money you used to give out. And I remember in my mind, I said to him, thank you very much, apostle of poverty. Do you understand? That is, this what you are doing is teaching me how to ensure that I'm poor in life by putting my hope in the uncertainty of riches. I said to him, listen, don't worry. In his time, car will come. In his time, car will come. And believe me, car came. And it came again. And it came again. And it will still continue to come. Are you getting my point? And listen, as a matter of fact, if we need it, a plane will come too. It will. The only reason why I don't have a plane right now is because there's nowhere I'm flying to. If I had to be flying every day, I will get on my knees and ask the Lord for it. And just a matter of a short while, it will also come. Are you getting my point? But it is not a sign that you have made spiritual progress. Listen, I'm watching the time.